Anyway, guys, sorry about that. Welcome to episode, is it 40? Did we finally hit 40? Episode 40 of the Decode Podcast, coming to you live from the Waypoint Cafe over at 65 Ludlow Street, where you can get your gaming on as well as some delicious coffee-related products. We are in winter now, and we also have the Arthas Hot Chocolate back on the menu. It's my personal favorite. During the cold season here in New York, we just had our first snowfall ever this winter. It got so cold my glasses froze and broke, and lovely Waypoint Cafe employee here, Isaac, was on hand to fix them. He's currently performing that surgery right now. That's how he did his. I have the same thing on mine at some point. It's awful, but it'll do for now.
Yours is better than mine, though.
I mean, yeah, yours has like a giant.
Well, I was able to wear glasses while fixing yours, so.
Okay.
They came out way better.
Anyway, guys, we have a very special show for you today. But before we get into the main topic, for those of you joining the live show, as you can see in the background, we have the DLC picture from the Amazing Spider-Man 2 game. So we're obviously going to be talking about Stan Lee in just a little bit, but I wanted to get a few quick notes out of the way for some of the video game and esports related stuff that we have here. I'm blind, so I have to like kind of squint at my notes that I put here so I can see them. But for those of you who don't know, you know, and if this is your first time dropping in, this is the Decode Podcast. We do our showcase stream every Tuesday with like a new game, or if something drops in a game that already exists, we kind of like to show it off every Tuesday, and every Thursday we have a podcast. But we've been going really gung-ho with a lot of actual regular streams in the meantime. You may have seen myself doing the After Dark programs, which will be every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and probably, I guess, maybe Friday or Saturday nights. My After Dark schedule is all over the place, but it's basically just a chance for me to show off some Destiny 2 stuff late at night and be unrestricted by language filters since it's late at night. And those of you who are fans of Destiny or fans of us can watch and show. We can show off some cool gameplay. You know, we did some Iron Banner yesterday. That was loads of fun. We also have Neil Ivan Gaming running through his choice of games. Here and there. Neil Ivan Gaming, of course, a close friend of ours, working very closely with him as he builds his regular stream. So you can follow him on his channel. We also host him as well. And then he's also playing through Subnautica, which will be on after this episode finishes. So we're going to have the podcast. We'll take a little break, and then he'll be back on to show off the rest of his playthrough for Subnautica, which is a very interesting game. We're watching the streams. I knew the game existed. I didn't know what it was until I saw him playing, and I'm like, holy crap, this is actually really good. A very fun game, very immersive deep sea diving rescue thing. It's a lot of fun. You guys should definitely check it out. That'll be on tonight at about 8 o'clock. And then, of course, you know, on the After Dark, I'm playing through some Destiny 2. This week is the last Iron Banner for Season 4. Destiny now goes into Seasons now, so we're up to Season 4. This will be the final Iron Banner for that Season 4. The new Thunderlord Exotic was made available through a quest line the past couple of weeks. That final step in the quest line was this past Tuesday. And I've been running crazy with it in the Iron Banner. I absolutely love the weapon. It's amazing. And it's a little bit of a showcase to an upcoming DLC that's going to drop sometime in December. We have the Black Armory update dropping for those Destiny players who bought into the annual pass kind of thing that has like big updates across the year. The annual pass will drop stuff, you know, that continues storylines and things like that for you to play in the game. There's also going to be regular updates for those who did not buy the annual pass. So there's always things that are available to you. They do routinely every other weekend or once weekend out of the month. They do free Gambit for all players of Destiny 2, so even if you've never bought into the DLCs, Gambit gets playable for a weekend for free. You get to try out that awesome game mode and try to hunt down that Malfeasance exotic gun. And that's part of the After Dark streams. I might switch it up once if a title that comes out really interests me, then, you know, makes me want to show that off. I might do that. I know for a little bit, I was doing Fist of the North Star. I kind of put that game down and went back to Destiny. Maybe I'll go back to Fist of the North Star at some point, or something new comes out soon. The new Hitman game is out. I've been playing through that. I didn't really want to play through that. That's kind of a game I wanted to like focus on and really play through without the distraction of streaming. But later on in the month, Darksiders 3 does drop, and I might want to switch off of the Destiny 2 and show you guys some Darksiders 3 gameplay when that game comes out later this month. So some Sony updates this year as well. Sony has officially confirmed that they will not be in attendance for E3 2019. This comes as a shock because Sony, in the 24-year history that E3 has been around, Sony has pretty much been a focal point since they've been with the PlayStation 1 at E3. No one really knows why. I mean, there's a lot of speculation as to what's going on whether or not, you know, why they wouldn't do it. Sony has said that they're looking for other ways to engage in the consumer, which leads me to believe that they're probably going to try a sort of a Nintendo Direct style approach with their announcements going forward. E3 is expensive to host stuff at. You know, companies got to spend money to build these booths and allocate space and time and employees and stuff like that. So I can imagine that, you know, as much money as these companies make, you know, it's not money that they want to spend. Especially, you know, going into a year like 2019, where they're probably trying to focus on the next installment of their hardware, whether that's an upgraded PS4 Pro or eventually the PlayStation 5, nobody knows. But it does seem like a financial decision overall, just to have that money saved for all these other presentations that they're probably going to do when they do like their Sony Direct or something. I mean, who knows what it'll be, but it is what it is. And they're doing that. We also are gearing up towards our personal Game of the Year awards. We're still working on like fine-tuning who's gonna get what, who's gonna get Game of the Year. I think we pretty much solidified what's getting Game of the Year, and now it's just kind of rounding out the rest of the top 10. As for like what some of the best games are out there, well, if you've paid attention to the Game Awards, the game show that is hosted by Jeff Keighley out there, some of the games that made their nominees for Game of the Year are on our own personal top 10 list. So Red Dead Redemption 2 is up there, Spider-Man, Celeste, God of War, and a couple other surprising titles have made our personal top 10. But it's interesting to see that the Game Awards almost picked pretty much the same stuff. I mean, those are some of the most popular games that have come out this year. You know, Red Dead 2, Spider-Man, God of War, all amazing games in their own right. And extremely well-designed games. If you've never checked them out, I highly recommend all of them. Red Dead is probably the largest time sink. The story mode gameplay itself is about 50 hours, but there's a whole world of side content that's available to you in Red Dead Redemption 2. It's interesting that we talk about the Game Awards, because if you remember if you're going the way back machine, when the Game Awards, I think, was on Spike TV, there was a bit they did when I think they went to honor Hideo Kojima for like the Legend Award or something. And it's funny enough that I want to do a Stan Lee specific episode. And Stan Lee dressed up as Revolver Ocelot. He was on stage with, I think it was Carmen Electra, and then her husband was Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters. They were dressed up in like in regular camouflage or whatever, but he came out as Revolver Ocelot. He himself has been a self-professed fan of Hideo Kojima, and Kojima likewise was also a big fan of Stan Lee. So much so that Stan Lee even did a video in 2007 when they were honoring the 20th anniversary for the Metal Gear Solid series. I start off with that because, you know, as we all know, We unfortunately have heard of the passing of Stan Lee. He passed away this past Tuesday. He passed away on Monday. He was 95, so he's lived an amazingly full life. His contributions are numerous. He's done a lot for nerd culture. He's done a lot for the comics industry. And he's done a lot for the fans of the industries. And, it's amazing to see, when you look back to whenever you got into comics, or whenever you got into the cartoon shows, or whenever you got into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's cameoed in almost every film. He's done voiceover work. He had that show on Sci-Fi. There was that reality TV show where you could be a superhero. And the guy's done a lot for the industry, and I think it's really impressive to understand the type of career this man had and the amount of lives he's touched in his 95 years on this earth. And for 50 plus years of that, he's been on this wave of immense success in the nerd culture. And all this information is out there, and I know that most people are like, how did he get his start? When did Stan Lee do all this? You say he started for 50 years, he was 95. Wait, did he really start at 40? Pretty much. So just a little bit of history on Stan Lee. Stan Lee was born in 1922. And I believe he lived in New York. He went to high school in the Bronx. He actually graduated high school early. He graduated about a year and a half early, so he was no slouch in the education department. Graduated high school in 1938 or 1939. He went to work for some theater agency there. I'm gonna put my glasses on so I can read my notes. So he graduated high school in 1939, and then he joined the WPA Federal Theater Project for a couple of years. And then in 1942, he joined the Army Signal Corps and went out there. He joined the Army. So Stan Lee is also a veteran. Transferred to their training film division. So basically he was responsible for the production of their training films in the Army. And then after that, he left the Army in 1945, met his wife. Her name was Joan. They eventually got together, got married. They were married for 70 years, Stan Lee and his wife, Joan. They have two children who are, I believe they're still alive. I'm not too sure. So he's had a fantastic life just on those features alone. But he's most known for his impact on comics. Yes, his official Army title was playwright. That's because he worked for their theater division at some point. He went into the training film division. He did a lot of stuff with their cartoons and all of that. So that's when he was in the Army. But before that, his first comics work was in 1939. He was the letterer and text filler for Captain America Comics. And he worked on that book for a number of years. When he came back, Timely was, the comic's name changed for a bit, and then he started working. He was a letterer, he was a writer, he did a lot of things. So one of the things that happened as he did his career in comics, it wasn't until the 50s where, DC was at the height of its popularity. You had Superman, Batman, Justice League, and all that stuff. And at that time, the publisher, his name was Martin Goodman. He went up to Lee. He's like, I want you to do a superhero team. We need to kick back and make sure, we get something that's as popular as some of these DC comic books. And it was at that point that Stan Lee met Jack Kirby. And we got the Fantastic Four as a result. of this collaboration. The Fantastic Four went on to be incredibly successful. And one of the reasons that it was successful was, one, it was a book of superheroes about a family. They all had realistic problems. All the characters were incredibly relatable. And those traits are something that was very common in all of Stan Lee's books. So when you go on to see how when he wrote The Incredible Hulk, or when he wrote Thor or Iron Man, these are all characters that he worked on, and this well before the one that would make him famous. He always made sure that they all had realistic problems that people dealt with in real life. So, you know, in Captain America was all fighting Nazis because we were out in World War II. Hulk battled, you know, abuse at a young age and anger. Thor was like probably the more comic-y of the books. And, you know, Iron Man, you know, he had the infamous battle with alcoholism, and he was just such an elitist douchebag, because that's Iron Man for you. But it wouldn't be until the 60s when Stan Lee and Steve Ditko get together and create Spider-Man. Spider-Man debuted in August of 1962, and that is probably the book that cemented Stan Lee's legacy going forward. He would remain at Marvel. He worked there until 1972, where he was then named Marvel's publisher, and essentially became the face of Marvel. So he wasn't really publishing the books per se. He was just, you know, like, you know how like Nintendo has Shigeru Miyamoto, and Miyamoto doesn't really develop games anymore, but anytime you think of Nintendo, you think of Shigeru Miyamoto. In that respect, when you think of Marvel, people thought of Stan Lee. And he became the face of Marvel, and he would work with them and, you know, write the Stan soapbox that you saw in a lot of the comics and everything like that. And then, you know, as time progressed, we saw how he would do a bunch of TV shows and write some different programs and do his cameo thing and everything. And he did that for many, 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 many years. This man worked from essentially the 1930s to now. I mean, granted, you know, he was a lot more laid back now. He did his convention appearances. He showed up for the movie cameos and things like that. You know, amazing stuff all around. But one of the things I want to touch back on, and it's just something I mentioned during the stream of air that I say, is like, you know, when you look at when he created Spider-Man was created in 1962. And I knew, if you remember, he was born in 1922, which means Stan Lee didn't see his biggest success and didn't become the household name that he was until he was 40 years old. And that's a story that sticks with me. And I know a lot of people can relate to this. You know, when you are growing up, and, you know, for many, Stan Lee was a father figure, a grandfather figure, or at the very least, you know, people learned a lot from the books that he wrote. You know, if you're a Spider-Man fan, Spider-Man is incredibly relatable to everyone. And it's because of the work that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko did when they created the character in the beginning. He didn't do this until he was 40. And one of the lessons that I took from that was that it's never too late to do something. You know, if you've thought about writing a book, if you thought about learning to draw, if you've thought about doing a podcast and talking about video games, you know, for your own personal enjoyment, you know, you do it on stream or whatever the case may be, there's never a wrong time to do it. And the only wrong time is to not do it at all. Like, you do no time on it. And that was my personal biggest takeaway from how Stan Lee lived his life, you know. And you compare that to other people who have done certain jobs. You look at Steve Jobs, who, you know, he was fired from Apple before he became their CEO. Walt Disney was told that he would never go anywhere in animation. And you look at that and you think about where they are now. They passed, but their legacy lives on forever. And when you look at the legacy that someone like Stan Lee leaves behind,
with the artists that he's worked with, Kirby, Ditko, you know, and so many faces out there that have worked in superhero comics, you know, those are things that are gonna outlast probably even you and I at this point. And legacy is the important thing here because, you know, yes, you know, there was good and bad about Stan Lee, you know, and I don't pay attention to that. I pay attention to what people do. And Stan Lee was always about the fans. Stan Lee always made sure that Marvel did the right thing, as opposed to, you know, he was against racism. He wanted all genders included in comics. He wanted people of any nationality included in comics. And that was something he even mentioned when it came to Spider-Man, how he's like, you know, who's to say Spider-Man can never be, you know, a black person? And, you know, look, we got Miles Morales running around now. And that inspiration definitely comes from the type of character that Stan Lee created, which, when you think about it, it's probably just a nice little touch of his own character. And Stan Lee had his famous catchphrase, Excelsior, which became like the staple statement of New York. And Excelsior means ever upward. And that's how we gotta look at this. You know, it's a sad passing, and I know it impacts a lot of people out there. But the key to remember is, one, it's never too late to start something. If you're thinking about doing something, you know, whether it's for yourself or, you know, you're thinking, oh man, you know, I wanna make myself happy. I wish I was happy doing this. Go do it. Go do it. There's never a late time for that. And I can't stress that enough. You know, I've been doing this video game stuff for years, and I first felt it wasn't gonna get me anywhere, and then I realized that was the wrong attitude to have, because I'm like, I really love doing this. I really enjoy doing this. I'm just gonna do it. Just do it. You know, and I owe that mentality and I owe that thought process to people like Stan Lee. And because of that, I'm going to remember him forever. And that's kind of all I wanted to say on the thing. You know, I rambled on for a bit there. But I just wanted to make that known that, you know, one of my biggest influences in life was Stan Lee, and he will continue to be an influence on me, because, you know, he didn't die, he just finished doing what he was doing, and his legacy is left behind in all the fans of comics and all the fans that are coming in because of the movies. And we're going to spread that legacy when we pass it down to the next generation, when we get them into superheroes and stuff like that. And that's just eternal right there. And I think that's the best word to describe the type of impact that someone like Stan Lee leaves on this earth. He has an eternal impact. And I can only hope that I do even a fraction of that. Anyway, guys, that's all the time I have for that. A little bit of a shorter episode for you. It's snowing. I wanted to send the guys home, make sure they got home safe. I'm going to start making my way home. But tune in just under 20 minutes for Neil Ivan Gaming stream of Subnautica. As always, we come to you from the Waypoint Cafe at 65 Ludlow Street. Shout outs to them for giving us a glorious home and allowing us to use their stream room for these streaming purposes. The stream room isn't just open to us, guys. It is available for you. If you're thinking about getting into streaming, if you want to try it out, come down to the Waypoint Cafe. Staff here will walk you through everything you need to know. They'll set you up. You can rent the stream room for whatever time you want to do so. Let them know if you're looking for those prices. They're available in store. You can come into the cafe and ask for that. They're also available on the website at waypointcafenyc.com. But that's going to be it for today. Just a little bit of a remembrance for Stan Lee and the impact that he will have on us. The impact he's had and the impact he will continue to have for many, many, many years to come. Until next time, then, as always, guys, You've been decoded.